you that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it and show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We thank you for the school of ministry. We thank you for our apostle, Lord God, the visionary, Lord God, and the president of this school, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the anointing that's on his life. And as we align ourselves properly, Lord God, that anointing flows down into our lives and that we walk in prosperity, peace, joy, health, victory in every area of our lives, knowing who we are in Christ. Father, I thank you as always for the Holy Spirit, because I know if he doesn't show up, I'd fall flat on my face. And I just thank him that he is my helper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Anybody had a little problems getting here because of the traffic? Yeah. If I didn't know the back ways, I ended up coming on the River Road. I got off the interstate because I couldn't get on 10. I went down to Acadiana, went all the way down to Highland Road, and from Highland got on the River Road and came on in. Praise God. But the good thing about it was, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to go ahead and begin, I had opportunity to go back to the original church, because that's right down the River Road, because I came not from the interstate but that way. And it just brought back so many memories of the scripture says, despise not small beginnings. You know, and I think about that, you know, though your beginning might be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. And to see the increase that has taken place in this ministry, next week we're having our prosperity revival. We have people coming from all over, you know, and to see, I can remember when the Lord said, he says, I'm going to do it in Darrell. I remember years ago I was at a camp meeting, and the Lord told me to look around. I was at Tulsa at Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting. And the Lord said, look around and observe and be very observant about what you see. What you see here in Tulsa, I'm going to duplicate it in Darrell. And to see that manifestation take place is very humbling. It is very humbling. All right, we're going to go ahead and start on our lesson. The last 2 weeks we were talking about pride, though, and we talked about the spirit of Leviathan. And I think I've covered that enough, but I'll touch on it a little bit more. But when I was studying for today's lesson, the Lord kind of showed me something that I never really saw before. He said, go back over. There were 6 levels of honor, because next semester, and probably maybe starting the beginning of the end of this semester, we're going to be looking at examples in the Bible of people who walked in honor and those who walked in dishonor. But in each stage or in each person, there was one of these 6 elements of honor that they either applied to their lives or didn't apply to their lives. Because he said, you know, all 6 of those elements are very important. So we're gonna touch on those again. I know we've talked about them, but I'm gonna hit them a little bit harder today. Okay, the first thing I want to point out is that the Bible says, and the author says in our book, that we should honor every life source. You know, and I said a life source is a giver or somebody who nourishes life, a person who gives life, a mother who gives life. When you witness to somebody and they get saved, they receive eternal life. So you in essence are a life source to them. A pastor who nurtures his flock, they are life sources. And the Bible says every life source, everybody or everyone that produces or nourishes and gives life, those people need to be honored. The first way to overcome the spirit of dishonor is to sow a seed of honor. You know, when you see dishonor or when you recognize that there might have been errors in your life that you walked in dishonor, well, the one way and one of the key ways to reverse that is by sowing a seed of honor. Amen? In Romans 13:7, it says, render therefore to all their dues or what is owed them. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. We must render to all men what is owed them for in the area of respect and in the area of honor. I talked about in the military how, you know, men are honored based on their rank, their position, their accomplishments. Those who might have won, say somebody who might have won a Nobel Peace Prize or the Medal of Honor, you know, you're honored because of your position or your accomplishments. And it's so very important that we understand. Whenever I go, I'm given an assignment to go, say a church member had a loved one that went home to be of the Lord, and they were having the services at another church outside of Word of Life. Most times it's a local Baptist church or a Catholic church. Whenever I go there to represent apostle, I always ask first off, you know, I say, you know, I'm here, you know, on behalf of Apostle Leroy Thompson Senior, Word of Life Christian Center, and I just want to, you know, find out who's in charge so that I can submit to that person properly, the pastor, the priest, or whoever. And I never forget one of the first times I did this, and, you know, I got a call, said I need to go to Plaquemines. So I went there, and I did just like I said. And it just so happened the person I was talking to was the presiding minister. And he said, yeah. I says, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with Dr. Thompson, okay? He said, we're about to start the processional. He said, I want you to walk beside me. And so, I mean, I think the casket was already in the front. But anyway, so we walked, and then he started to go up to the pulpit. So I stopped, you know, because if I'm not invited, I'm not going up there, you know. And then he stopped, he looked at me, he said, sure. Then he motioned for me to sit down right beside him, and I'm, you know, this is the first time for me. You know, it's been about 25 years ago. And so I'm kind of saying, Lord, what's going on here? And then he looked over and said, I want you to pray, to open up in prayer. And so, but I'm saying all of this because, you know, you give honor to whom honor is due. Because I acknowledged him, first of all, I acknowledged my man of God. And I let him know I'm here as an ambassador and as a representative. That's so very important in ministerial etiquette, you know. And to be able to pray opening, you know, it just seemed like it just set the stage. You know, one of the things I think I remember saying in a prayer is that, you know, our loved one here, though we see the body, we know they're in a better place. So, you know, there's no more suffering, there's no more pain. And it just set the stage. Let me move on. But it just, you know, it's honoring those who are in authority, and that's so very important. We owe them this respect and honor. If you want what's on them, that anointing, the blessing that's on them, it's so very important that we honor them. In 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, this is the Amplified Bible. It says, let the elders who perform their duties or their office well be considered doubly worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you should not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the grain. And again, the laborer is worthy of his hire. You know, I've always often referred to that scripture about, you know, people who labor in the gospel are worthy of double honor. You know, that means if you was going to do something, double up on it. You know, just do more, because one way, as I just stated, to get what's on them is by sowing into their life. And monetarily, yes, but sowing your time, sowing your talent, all of that, you know, is sowing honor into those, you know, who are in authority. Amen? Amen. All right, let me move on. In Malachi 1 and verse 6, it says, this is the Amplified Bible. It says, a son honored his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is the reverential fear due me? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. You say, how and in what way have we despised your name? You know, by not honoring. You know, you when you're When you neglect honoring those who are in authority, those, and we're going to talk about those six levels of honor, six levels of honor. If you neglect, you're despising them, and you're not giving them the just due based upon the position and the labor that they have done. Amen? All right, let me move on. We must understand the importance of giving honor to whom honor is due. We must honor the anointing that is in the land, the apostolic gift in your region, you know, the pastor that you submit to. We must honor those people because that's God's divine plan. There have been times when people didn't honor the anointing in the land, and the Lord removed that gift, placed that gift in another place because they weren't receiving proper honor. There have been mighty men of God who the Lord may have called them to a region. I'm thinking about one person in particular, and I'm not going to mention his name. But because the area and the people didn't or neglected to honor him, the Lord told him to uproot and move to another city to where he can be honored properly. You know, I don't want to see that happen to my man of God. You know, so I thank God that, you know, this coming prosperity revival and camp meeting that we honor our man of God and show him how much we love and respect the anointing that's on his life so that we can receive the benefits of it. Amen? Praise God. This is some of the things that the author said. He says, I encourage you, if you're a minister and you're ministering in a particular region or an area of the country, you know, and you're a local pastor or you're a teacher or even if you're a prophetic gift, he says, if there is a prophetic gift that's in that area that is higher in rank than you or been ministering longer and you're coming into his town, it should be customary and respectful for you to, number one, acknowledge him. Send him an offering. Send him a gift. Let him know, look, I'm doing some evangelistic work in your area, and I recognize that, you know, God has called you to this region, and I just want to, you know, first of all, a lot of times, just even asking for permission, because I mean, that's his field, you know, and then when you do, you come with a gift. I guarantee you, you do that. You're going to see greater results because you have this blessing. You want this blessing. I've been in prison ministry for almost 30 years, 29 years, and I did this just out of habit, but I always acknowledge my man of God. I never wanted them to see me. I always wanted them to see Apostle. You see, Dr. Thompson, you know, and by doing so, the grace that's on him would always come on me, and the results just were just phenomenal, you know. To see people get saved, set free, healed, delivered, you know, and to see a lot of those guys now who are out, married, have their own homes. One guy just started his own business, you know. I know it's a result of the grace that's on this ministry, you know, and I can't really take no credit for it. The only credit you have is just operating in obedience. And when you do that, you can't help but be blessed, and the people around you are going to also be blessed. Mm-hmm. All right. As we stated earlier in the class, the first week, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There is no greater seed than that of an honor seed. Sowing upwardly so the blessing can come down. And I always use Hebrews chapter 7:7, which says, without all contradiction, the less is blessed because of the better. You know, when you, one man of God called that upward giving, you know, sowing up so that the blessing can come down. Amen. All life comes from God. And when you blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, the author says it violates the principle of the sovereignty of God. says all life comes from God, and when you blatantly, intentionally dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the sovereignty. It's a violation of the principle of God's sovereign existence. And then he goes on to say, anytime a life source is violated, God withdraws his blessing at any time and on any level. All right, let's start off with honoring God. Out of the six levels of honor, that first level, we first must, number one and primarily, honor God. And that's so very important. The Bible says in Hebrews 3, 9, and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So very important, honoring God with the first, because I always tell people like this, God gave you not only the strength and the ability, but he woke you up that morning. You know, he already owns the cattle on a thousand hill. Everything belongs to God. All God is actually doing is making us stewards of what is his, and we need to be good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. And so by honoring God with the first fruits, we're just being good stewards and giving God what's his, because Genesis 8 and 22, you know, talks about the principle of seed, time, and harvest, you know. And as long as the earth is in existence, that principle is going to still be operating, you know, by sowing a seed to produce a harvest in our lives. Amen? Amen. All right. Trying to make sure I catch the. Also, in the area of honoring God, we know about seed, we know about tithes, and we know about offering. But if you want your life to flourish, you must first honor God, not only just with the first fruits, but also with your very life. Our bodies are the temple of the living God. And our bodies are not our own. They've been given to us by God. So we want to glorify God in our bodies. And everything we do in our bodies, we want to make sure that it brings glory to God. The author talks about, he says, it is very dangerous for individuals who should know better to have inappropriate behavior or relationships, inappropriate conduct, and moral failures, especially those that are teaching and preaching the Word of God, preaching one way and living another. So we need to, one of the things I've always, and I'll give you an example, something that happened to me just today. When you're in the fivefold ministry, are even working in the ministry of helps to a greater capacity. This is something the Lord told me. He says, people are always watching you. Amen. You know, you're an example. You are an example and a leader to those who are following and watching you. And so it's very important that you set a good example and a good picture or a good picture for them to follow. Because you have no idea what God is doing in that person's life and how them seeing you serve God, how it motivates them to do it. And so when you're serving out of a pure heart and honoring God, that promotes them to do the same. You know, I was driving here today before I got caught up in the traffic. I was down Sherwood Forest, and my phone rang. And one of the church members called me, one of the guys in prison ministry. He's an usher. And he said, Brother Calhoun. I said, how you doing? He said, I think I might have just passed you or I drove by you. He said, I was going to my son's school to do some things, and I looked like I saw your car, and you were. I said, yeah. I said, I'm heading to the school of ministry. He said, well, look, I just wanted to acknowledge you that I saw you, and you have a great time, and, you know, since I did see you, I wanted to let you know I saw you on the road. And it was no big deal, but That humbled me. That humbled me. You know, I said, he didn't have to do it, you know. You know, but it was just, you know, I thought about him, and he just recently got involved in prison ministry. And, you know, getting back to, you know, letting your light shine, you know, people will recognize that, and they'll give honor to you because you're giving honor to God. You know, and that's, you know, I'm gonna leave that alone. But I had a moment there. I said, "Wow, that's he didn't have to do that." You know, but it just blessed me. Okay, getting back to what I was saying about moral failures, the author said there should be no sexual affairs among the fivefold ministry gifts. There should be no definitely no homosexuality affairs. There should be no wife swapping, no blatant sex sins, no inappropriate conduct for those who are in ministry. Anytime you have this level of dishonor, there is a harvest of catastrophe that you're going to reap. You know, and I'm about to jump a little bit, but I've even in my early years, right after I got out of school, my early 20s, I remember a good friend of mine, he was serving under a man of God, and the man of God fell into, you know, sin, and instead of restoring him and sticking by him, he took sides. And I think some of the church members left, a few people left with him, you know, that's wrong. You know, when God placed you under somebody, we're going to even talk about Noah and his sons, how one of his sons found him drunk from the wine that he had made. And instead of covering his father's nakedness, he exposed it to his brothers. That's dishonor. That's dishonor. You know, both of the other brothers were blessed and enlarged, you know, but he was cursed because of his disobedience, not so much dishonor, you know. There's consequences, you know. Even, like I said, even if you're not the one involved in the situation, how you handle it, and how, I remember something, and I've shared this before. Apostle had told us years ago, he said, you know, if somebody falls, you know, you don't put your mouth on them. You never want to put your mouth on a man or a woman of God, you know, because you have no idea, you know, the people that they ministered to, that they led to the Lord, thousands, maybe millions, and then they may fall for whatever reason from grace, you know. But you pray for them, you uplift them, but you keep your mouth off of them, you know. I thank God that I had what I consider a slow start on the backside of the mountain. Because, you know, a lot of people get launched out in ministry or they launch themselves out and they don't have the proper training and nurturing and discipline. They hadn't experienced things or been taught things or been rebuked enough to where they recognize, no, I shouldn't do it this way. And so they go out and they try to establish a ministry on their own. I've seen the enemy allow men of God to start success, what appear to be successful ministries, and he now implants a bug into their ministry, and them not having the experience or the wisdom and the understanding, that little fox just comes and destroys them, destroy their family, their marriage. You know, I know people personally, their ministry and their marriage. You know, I remember this one guy, I introduced him to Apostle. This was years ago in Birmingham, Alabama. And Apostle told him to give him a resume, come sit, listen and learn. And, you know, and he said, you know, you got a young ministry. You really need to be pastored and have a father to kind of guide you. He never took him up on his advice. I went back to visit him years later and, you know, and things were just at an uproar. I mean, I saw it slowly collapse, you know, and I remember, you know, I would see him and I said, Lord, compared to what he's doing, I'm doing nothing. You know, but it's kind of like the Lord was saying, no, don't worry about it. You just be where I want you to be, you know. And I'm not going to go into it, but it's those things are very important because a lot of times the enemy will introduce a Jezebel spirit into the congregation. And all of a sudden now this person will come and they always want to get close to the leadership, to the pastor or his wife or the children, because they want to inflict their influence. And in this particular person, this woman became his spiritual advisor, you know. And when he told me that, I said, that don't even sound right. I didn't know anything about it back then. I was maybe in my 30s. But I said, this don't even sound right. You see, he's got a wife. Why he need this woman to be his spiritual advisor? Well, she advised him right out of his marriage, his family, and his ministry, you know. Anointed, but not fathered. That's why it's, you know, it's so rare. Because basically, if you're not fathered, you're a bastard. You're a bastard child, you know, and you have no proper rearing, you know, to make it. Let me move on. The second level of honor is honoring the apostle and prophet, honoring the apostolic. In Matthew 13 and 57, it says, it's talking about Jesus, it says, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. You must honor the apostolic source that God has placed in your region. Here's the principle. The reason many countries never get the benefit of the gift or the great gifts that God has given that country is because they did not show honor to the apostolic and prophetic gifts that God has placed and blessed them with. Every gift is given to a region to match the needs of that region. Apostle Thompson was given to this region, you know, to set the body of Christ free from financial bondage. When you receive a gift, when you receive him as a gift and honor him as a gift, that financial prosperity anointing comes upon you, you know, because you're sowing into it and you're honoring. And so now the anointing comes down upon your life. If people in the region don't receive and honor the gift that God has sent to them, they will not receive the blessing that man of God carries on his life, and it was sent to them to be a blessing for them. And instead of walking in the blessing, now you're walking in the curse. One of the things the author says, one of the greatest areas of dishonor is when you're hearing the teaching week after week, day after day, you know, Sunday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, and you don't act on what you heard. You're not applying it to your life, and you're not getting results. You know, that's, you know, it's better not to even be there than to be there, hear it, and don't receive it. You know, it is, because it's, you know, it is. I'm going to leave it at that. All right, I got 11 minutes, and I'm... All right, let's move on. The third level of honor is honoring fathers in the gospel. And I read this scripture earlier. No, I didn't. Malachi 1 and 6 says, a son honored his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Yeah, we read it, but we read it in the Message translation, said the Lord of hosts. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? It's so very important to honor fathers, even if it's not your father, you know, but a person who is a spiritual father or a pastor. You know, I'm the type of person, if I'm confronted, you know, with a pastor, you know, or somebody who's an evangelist or in the fivefold ministry, I always stand up and I shake their hand, and I let them know, thank God for them, you know. Acknowledge them. Acknowledge the gift that's on their lives, you know. And if I'm in a position, I sow into them, you know, because I know that's going to reap benefits in my life, you know. He says, this is the author says, corporately, it is important that we honor fathers. We need to know in a region who has God raised up in that region to be a father and to honor them. Who are fathers in your area? And he just uses it as a comment. You know, we should know, you know, who God has placed in our midst, you know. And then as a scripture apostle shared maybe 2 weeks ago, Malachi 4:6, and I think I might have shared it already. And he, it says, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In these last days, God, I call that the spirit of Elijah. God is raising up spiritual fathers. And he's turning their his heart to their to his children, those people God has assigned for him to nurture up. You know, we're part of those children that God has assigned to apostle so that he can speak into our lives. And he's turning the hearts of the children to the fathers, you know, because for so many years, there have been a lot of bastard children out there establishing ministries without a father. You know, and not seeing the full benefit and the blessing that they could have received if they had a father watching over, praying for them, you know. And that's why, like I said, it's so important that we honor fathers. In 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, it says, you have not many fathers, though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ. You know, one translation says 10,000 boy-like teachers. But yet you have not many fathers, you know. Honor the fathers that are in the land. Let me move on. When you have a father, okay, and I kind of talked about this when I said I'm kind of jumping the gun. Noah, who had two sons, Shem and Japheth, honored their father, and they covered his nakedness. That's Genesis 9:20. But we know that one of the sons exposed them and went out and told the others, and they went backwards where they did not see their father's nakedness, and they had a sheet and they covered him. That's honoring their father. Even though he fell and he got into sin, they still honored their father, because this is what the author says. He says, when you have a father that is uncovered, or have uncovered himself, in other words, in sin, and fallen into sin, and his sons speak badly about the uncovering of their father, they open the door to the curse their father has initiated to come upon them. Their dishonor, the curse, and the sin, or the iniquity, comes upon the son's life. I've seen that happen to people, literally, to where instead of, you know, working with their pastor or working with the person that they were under, you know, they went, start talking about them, left, like I said, took some of the members. And this one man of God, I remember when he first started out, I remember going to his meetings, and the guy who was his associate, a good friend of mine, you know, I remember, you know, him leaving, and the very same sin, the exact same sin, I mean, when I say exact, I mean to the letter, that his father that he was sitting under fell, this guy also fell under. Even after he was told, don't do this. It's not, it's, as a pastor, and what was happening, he was inviting teenage girls to stay at his house with him and his wife, because their parents had kicked him out, because a lot of them had gotten saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And back in the early 80s and the 90s, that a lot of, you know, denominational churches thought that was taboo. So they thought you were a part of a cult, you know. But still, as a man of God, you don't, you know, you keep your house sacred, you know, you and your family, you know. And the Bible says to shun every appearance of evil. You know, and this gentleman, good friend of mine, know him well, you know, looked up to him for several years up to that point, you know, but, you know, he fell and never really recovered from that. Amen. You know, so, you know, honor is so very important, because it could determine your future when you dishonor. Amen. All right, let me move on. I got 5 minutes. Where is the time going? Praise God. Number four, the fourth level of showing honor is honoring your parents. Mm-hmm. And me and Brother Ronald, Reverend Gotro, we were just talking about, you know, honoring our parents, you know, as they get older, you know, caring for them. He was telling me how he bought his dad his first riding lawnmower, how his dad would always, you know, cut with a push mower, and as he got of age, he bought one for him, bought his mom a brand new gas stove, and how they were so grateful, you know. when you honor, if your parents are still alive, one of the things my grandmother used to always say, give me my flowers while I'm alive. In other words, basically, show me the respect and the honor that I have earned. Why, don't be crying over me, you know, after the fact and saying, oh, I wish I would have known. It's too late. You know, what blesses me to the end is when my mom looks at me and says, son, I appreciate you. I thank you for what you're doing for mama. You know, and it just, you know, it almost brings tears to my eyes because I know I'm honoring her, but at the same time, I'm making her life a little easier. You know, I mean, I pay all her bills. I make sure that all the maintenance in the house is done. And, you know, every time I go, I bring the things I know she likes to eat, you know, and whatever she needs, you know, all she's got to say. She don't even have to say it. I know it. It's going to be there, you know. And that's honoring, you know, somebody. And the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, upon the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor thy father and mother, as the Lord thy God commanded thee, that the days may be prolonged, that it may be well with thee, and in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay, we're gonna leave that. I think we got that. That's so very important. The fifth area and level is honoring older people, or those I'll call them our seniors. Whenever I'm around a person of age or stature in age, I always stand up and I salute them, and I shake their hand and I acknowledge their presence. Because you're honoring their years. It says in Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary-headed or the white-headed man and honor the face of the old man and fear the Lord, for I am God. You know, and the author says when you're doing that, you're actually showing, he says here, in the principle you are honoring their life experience. If they have gone through all kind of years and battles and struggles that their life and as an individual, when they walk into the room and when you stand up and acknowledge them, you are honoring their survival skills, their ability to impart knowledge to you. And when you stand up and you honor a senior in that regard, you're literally saying, God has honored you for bringing this person through all of these struggles and experience, showing this kind of honor for the battles and that they have fought and the successes that God has allowed them to do is now allowing the grace that's on them to come upon you. You know, so in your life, you're not going to have to go through some of the same things because they have graced you with some knowledge and some experience and just their love. And when you honor them, now it paves the way for your life to be to have a greater impact and a far-reaching impact because you have their experiences and the grace that's upon them comes upon you. So that now you can, you know, with Elijah and Elijah, you know, even though that was his spiritual father, but Elijah, the youngest prophet, did twice as many miracles as Elijah. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he honored him and he stayed with him till the end. Amen? Amen. All right. The last one, and I'm not going to have hardly no time for it, is honoring the anointing that's on your life. You know, the anointing that's in you. God has graced each and every one of us with an anointing, with an ability, with a talent, with a skill. When God blesses you with that, you want to give it back to him. Amen. You know, because you're giving him what he's blessed you with, so now that he can bless you with more. You know, the worst thing to do is to bury a talent. The worst thing to do is to bury a talent. Don't put it in the ground. If you know God has blessed you with a skill and an ability, you wanna nurture that and develop it, and you honor God with that talent. And my time just went to zero. Amen. All right. Now, everybody know next week is Prosperity Revival. We won't have classes, but we will have classes. It just won't be here. Amen. All right. See you guys next week. Yeah, thank you, sir.